This one goes out to the Inebriati, Original 109, Red Patch Boys, Tribal Rhythm Nation, Kings in the North, U-Sector. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Saunders has a better quality experience, but Johansson's better with his feet. Here's Jovinko now trying to spin away, and there is the away goal! And is that the hammer from Sebastian Jovinko? Not one of the top three vote-getters for MVP, but Jovinko with a huge moment early here. And Johansson couldn't get there. Jovinko's got his second. Jovinko got it away, and it sneaks underneath Eirik Johansson. Five hat tricks for Sebastian Jovinko, regular season plus playoffs, and a perfect exclamation point.
It's full time at Yankee Stadium. Greg Vanney and his team are moving on to the conference final, where it will be an all-Canadian affair against the Montreal Impact.
Lambo, come alive, man, I'm used to this. No one looks surprised, cause we used to this. I'ma make sure that we get used to this.
Start spreading the news.
It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Can you believe that performance from the Reds? Unbelievable. MLS record makers are your Toronto FC after their 7-0 aggregate victory over New York City FC. Yes, that does set an MLS Cup playoff record, the largest margin of victory in a two-legged aggregate affair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm still trying to think of something. Okay, this is a sports show. You know, we talk TFC, but we like to goof and we like to make fun and we like to look at some interesting things. There is not one thing I can find wrong in 180 minutes for TFC.
Breaking news. We have breaking news. TFC has just scored again.
That's the one goof. That's it.
And
it
was goof. I don't know what else am I supposed to say.
It was really piss poor, but you know, it's a goof nonetheless.
How about this for a goof? I'm checking out Ticketmaster today. We'll break down the game. We're going to talk to Lloyd Barker.
We have time.
Clint Irwin's going to call us. They're just landing from New York City, anyways. But I check out Ticketmaster to see what Eastern Conference playoff tickets here, November 30th, second leg against Montreal.
What's the going rate? That's what you're looking at it.
Yeah. So I pop it up and it takes me to BMO field page and whatever is going on there. The first event, it says 2016 Toronto Argonauts playoff game, and in big red bold letters, canceled, because they're nowhere near the playoffs in the CFL where basically everybody makes it. 104th Grey Cup. Okay, fine.
Is that the goof?
No, but that's November 27th, right? And under that is November 30th, Toronto FC. And the TFC game says not many left. Grey Cup, fine. You can get all the tickets you want. No problem.
You know what? We've really come a long way where we can't even goof on TFC, that we're just going to goof on the Argo. Just because it's easy, because it's there. We're like two big bullies.
Yeah, this was, look, I mean, it's hard. There's nothing negative to say about TFC
How?
Today.
Where? There,
absolutely nothing. What is the negative? Well, Josie Altidore and Michael Bradley have to go on international break. And, you know, they're playing games somewhere else, not with TFC, in between the conference finals.
TFC beat up New York City FC like they owed them money. Like it was an absolute massacre at Yankee Stadium. It was men against boys. Shall I continue with all these headlines?
Yeah.
I really don't have any more, so continue. I only had the three. It's so bad. Watching that game, okay? Watching it, sitting on my couch, watching this game, I'm looking and going, this is like a beer league team. TFC is playing a beer league team because there was no cohesion, no clue as to who goes where and who does what.
New York wasn't ready for TFC's intensity. New York, you know what New York looked like? They looked like they thought TFC was going to sit on their two-goal lead and defend to the hills.
Yeah, and they got smacked in the face really early.
6 minutes in.
And they just saw stars for the rest of the 84 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it was just consistently.
It was 3-0 after the 30th.
What I love to see here, and this is why I say it was good for MLS.
That was like watching TFC in Montreal a year ago.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying for MLS. This is why it was good for MLS. Not so much for
New York. I don't think Don Garber would agree with you.
Not so much for New York City FC, but why it's good for MLS. Because we actually saw football. Football the way that purists, I'm one of them.
You consider yourself one of them, at least.
And you are. You love watching football. You can watch a 0-0 game and find something interesting about it because you enjoy the tactical nuances. Just everything was just that. The way the ball moved. The way they attacked possession. They had possession. Just everything lined up. Sure, it was one-sided, but it was entertaining. So it was entertaining for the neutrals who just want to see goals, and it was entertaining for the purists, and it shows, well, at least on one side, that North American football...
It's coming up.
It's coming up. It's coming up. They play great football.
And basically, 10 of TFC's 11 players on the field last night, starters, are CONCACAF born and bred. The only one to not be that would be Sebastian Giovinco. So it just goes to show you that it is growing and continuing to get better. And last night was by far the best night in TFC history. I don't think there's any denying that. It's absolute fact. It's like the biggest margin of victory this team has ever had. It is, from start to finish, an absolute domination.
You can sit here and make an argument for every player on the pitch.
Yeah.
To be man of the match. You can even sit there and make an argument of Vanny being man of the match.
Yeah.
And he was on the side just because everything worked. Everything clicked. I haven't seen such a dominant display of football over 180 minutes in a long time. I'm talking any league that one team is so much better that the other team didn't even have a hope and a prayer at all. Did you think New York City FC were even going to get back into it after 1-0?
No.
Did you even think they would make a game out of it?
No.
Me neither. Because they looked heartless.
They looked dejected.
No life.
No, they looked like they gave up after Giovinco scored 6 minutes in. They knew their fate after that point. And when TFC came out of the gates and punched them in the face, that was the big difference. Because, like I said, New York did not expect TFC to just come out and go for that first goal. We talked about it on Friday on our show. Yeah. What should TFC's mantra be going into this game? What should their mentality be to this game? And yes, a lot of our listeners didn't want to see them defend for the hills, park the bus, all of that kind of stuff. One of the things that we talked about was getting that first goal, and that's very difficult to do, but we saw that was a concerted effort of TFC's in those opening minutes. No, we want to get that first goal. We want to make sure that not only do we come here, we're winning this game. And they kept that mentality throughout the entire 90 minutes.
When I was watching the broadcast before the game started, they were talking about Patrick Vieira. And I think one of the broadcasters, KJ, I think, had a one-on-one with him or just talked to him and was just relaying what they spoke about. And he said, I've never seen a player more calm. Naturally, he's been in bigger games as a player, let alone a coach, Patrick Vieira. And all he talked about was, we don't need to get two goals. We just have to focus on the one goal. If we can get a one goal, doesn't matter whatever time it happens, just not as long as it's in the 90th minute, we can get that second. We can get them on their heels. How about defending?
Hey,
about your team doesn't even look like a professional team? And I've been saying it all season. This team was hopeless.
Well, and it helps that we're in this market and TFC was kind of in the same place a year ago.
Yeah, it feels so good.
Where they could not defend. They had the attacking pieces, but they didn't have the balance. New York's not far off. That's, you know, if they want to look at something, look at what TFC did this offseason and take a page out of that book. Say, look, we're not that far off. We need better defenders. We need better balance in the midfield as well.
Holding midfield.
But overall, we're in good shape. We're closer than we were when we started our franchise a couple of years ago.
Well, there
you don't build Rome in a day,
of course. But when you look at who the owners are and how much is going to be put for, how much is
they're not firing Vieira. This is a work in progress,
of course not. But you also have to look at the buys that they made early. Like, okay, you can't make a comparison and say, well, they're far ahead than TFC was at the same time because the league is completely different. Everything is different. I think their biggest mistake was not Vieira, was the Lampard and Pirlo. Those guys are not. those aren't your guys. Those guys
they had to make a splash to get a
faces on the posters. Yeah, that's what it was.
And then you know what? In a New York market where there's a lot of entertainment dollars that need to spread around, you got to make a splash. That's the only way you're going to get people involved.
True.
So I don't necessarily disagree with them as I did when they first did it back then. Dan Racho, Thomas Michalakos, let's get to some of the audio from the post game. David Villa, where was he? He was in somebody's back pocket, maybe Greg Vanney's. Here was Coach Vanney after the game on locking down MLS's second leading goal scorer.
They have patterns of play and different things that they can open you up with once it really starts working. Then when Villa has space to really do his magic, then he can hurt you. And we did a good job of getting pressure to the ball right at the start of their attacks. And so whenever he got the ball, a lot of times he got the ball in not very beneficial moments or not very beneficial spaces. And when he did, we always had guys around him to get pressure to him, and we always made it difficult.
And you know what the big stat was from stopping David Villa, not just in the first leg, but in this second leg?
What?
He had 4 touches in the area. And that's 4 touches on the ball in the 18-yard box.
See, watching him in both these two games, I just saw a player that was just frustrated to the point where he was looking at the players around him and going,
it's like a good quarterback in the NFL that doesn't have the supporting cast.
You don't have receivers. You don't have an offensive line. At one point, I can't remember which goal it was. David Villa and Frank Lampard took the ball. They set it down to kick off the game after, I think, the second or the third goal. And they just looked at each other and were just, you could just see it. They're lost. They're like, what could we possibly do to turn this ship around? And nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing that they supporting could cast. Have done. As for playing in these big games, it was a problem for TFC in the past, and even something that they had trouble with through the course of the summer when they were on the cusp of getting first in the Eastern Conference. They couldn't really pull away. Here's Greg Vanney after the game on playing in these benchmark type of games.
I think we've had a number of those types of games. You know, last year, when we finally clinched the playoff spot beating New York, I think it was one of those days. Winning the first playoff game this year was another one of those games. Advancing through this series for sure is going to be another one of those moments. So for us now, we're just continuing to develop a culture and a mentality of winning. And that's sort of what I would say was lacking in previous years. It's, you know, winning is as much a habit as losing can be. And, you know, we've got good continuity and the group is a tight-knit group and they work hard for each other. And, you know, when you start getting results that match up with the type of work that you're putting in, then it starts to build some momentum. And I think tonight and this series as a whole was, again, another one of those momentum moments for us. And now we got a couple weeks to prepare. We lose a couple guys or a few guys off to international duty, but, you know, now we've got to prepare for what's going to be another real tough series.
They look like far and away the best team in MLS. And right now, given the way these playoffs have gone and TFC, they look unbeatable at this point, the way they've played in these.
How can you not after that a 7-0 aggregate victory?
They are getting the love from Bet365, looking up MLS Cup future odds. TFC favorited at plus 200. Sounders at plus 225. Montreal and Colorado are both plus 350 to win MLS Cup.
See, the two Western Conference teams, they don't really, you know, watching for TFC, I don't think they're that scary. I think TFC can score goals if they could just play like they did in the last two games as far as their tactical positioning and how they all ganged up and they played for each teammate, was playing for each other. You know, that doesn't scare me. But Montreal scare me because it almost seems like
it's a rivalry game.
Yeah, and they just have their number and it doesn't matter how many goals they can score. Montreal can score as well, but they play better. They're somewhat better defensively.
Montreal they've kind of figured out that they need to play lockdown defensive football.
And they know how to counter. Do it against TFC.
They did it in August against TFC where it was just defend to the hills and pump the ball up for Piatti and see what he can do. And it worked. We'll see if it works against TFC's 3-5-2. They haven't used it yet against Montreal, so I don't think that's changing right now from Greg Vanney the way this is played.
You'd be foolish if you changed that.
4 times in a row, TFC have used this formation and this lineup, and it has worked in all 4 of those games. Did have a TFC pitch side poll question I wanted to get to, and it is, who was TFC's MVP in the 7-0 aggregate win, an MLS record, over New York City FC? Giovinco with his 3 goals, Altidore 2 and an assist, Bradley 14 tackles, 6 interceptions, or Greg Vanney? Thomas, your answer is?
You have to go with the capo on that. If you don't have Bradley being that spine, that leader, and just, you know, doing everything right, which he did, you're not going to be anywhere near. Giovinco wouldn't have the room to score those goals.
Toronto FC goalkeeper now joining us on TFC pitch side. It is Clint Irwin. Thanks for doing this, Clint. Congratulations on the big win. Off to the conference finals.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Was that your favorite ever trip to New York City, or is there one other that comes to mind?
That's probably the best one that I've had any time. It was an amazing game, amazing performance from the team, and we're just really excited to keep this run going.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, things are all clicking for you guys. You know, there was a lot of talk going into this second leg. What was going to be the mentality? Would you stick with the same? Would you defend to the hills? Would you park the bus? All of those different types of takes that get thrown around. But it was pretty clear you guys wanted to go out there and score the first goal and the second and all the way through to 5.
Yeah, that was the game plan from the start. And from the first minute of the first leg to the last minute of the second leg, we played the same way, which was we were going to be aggressive. We wanted to play in their half of the field. And we wanted to see how their defense could hold up against our top attacking talent. And we knew on the backside of things that we could defend and keep them off the score sheet, and that was going to give us a great chance. And it seemed to all work perfectly through the 2 games.
The last 180 minutes of football for TFC, have you ever in your career been a part of game plan that has worked so perfectly from defense to attack?
It's tough for me to remember any. It seems like just every single thing went right. You know, we just suffocated them all over the field, and we scored the goals and almost every chance we put in the back of the net. And it's a credit to the coaching staff for setting us up in that way. And then the players going onto the field and executing and not giving in. You know, we're up, you know, 7 goals on aggregate, and we're still fighting to keep the clean sheet at the end of the game. I think that says a lot about the character of this team and how we want to impose ourselves in these playoffs.
As a goalkeeper, you know, your back three are key, and this formation has been absolutely fantastic for TFC. Can you tell me a little bit about Drew Moore, Nick Haglin, and Eric Zavaleta in training? What do you guys talk about, and how do you guys, because you guys look unbeatable at the back, impenetrable.
Yeah, those three guys have been really key in the playoffs with this formation that we're playing, and I think Drew really is the glue guy who kind of holds things together. He's a good communicator and puts guys in the right spots, and that allows Eric and Nick to play to their natural qualities, which is being aggressive, stepping in to midfield, closing guys down, and using their physical qualities to really impose themselves from a defensive standpoint. And it's really just kind of simplified things and made us really tough to break down.
Toronto FC goalkeeper Clint Irwin, our guest here on TFC pitch side. There's a lot of talk when teams go into the playoffs and having to, you know, find that team mantra. How has it been? I know Drew Moore has talked about this, saying it's the best clubhouse he's been in all of his MLS career. And you've been a teammate of his for the last few of those years. What is it about this team right now that has allowed you guys to reach the potential that you've frankly been talking about reaching all season long?
Yeah, from about the first day in preseason, we talked about what it means to be all in. We've developed that as the season's gone on. You know, you've seen other guys step in throughout the season, and when we've had injuries or absences and not miss a beat. And it's meant that everyone's ready to contribute. But at the same time, if guys aren't on the field, they're supportive of the guys who are on there and pushing each other in training and really just having each other's backs. I think the biggest thing that I can think of is that we're playing for each other. And whenever you can play for someone that you're with a lot of the times, it becomes a powerful thing. And we hope to continue that. We're still building that culture. It's a day-to-day thing, but it's worked for us so far.
What's the upcoming week looking like for you now with the international break and, you know, some of the players leaving on international duty? How do you keep up that same intensity when you guys return?
I don't think it'll be too difficult. We realize right now that we're two games away from an MLS Cup final and a chance to win another trophy this year. And if that doesn't get guys fired up to train every single day and to prepare in the best way possible, then I don't know what else will. So I'm not too concerned about that. We know we've got guys going away who are playing in important games, and when they come back, we'll be set up well for the next two legs of a rivalry match against Montreal.
When you see Sebastian Giovinco and Jozy Altidore get their game on and are clicking in the way that they were last night, what are you seeing? How do you feel? What is it like watching them from their own your own net? And also, do you ever have a moment in time where you feel bad for the opposing goalkeeper?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all the time. I'm watching from the other end, and it seems like every time they go at goal, they're going to create something. And when you have that on your team, it's a great feeling because you know that those guys are going to put pressure on the other team. And if it was switched around, you'd be like, you know, here we go again. We got to go up against these guys, and they're bringing it at us every time. And but it really is a huge advantage for us because we know that those two guys are going to create chances. They're going to put pressure on the opposition, and it's going to open up things for other guys on the field.
David Villa had four touches in two games in your 18-yard box. Now, looked like he was frustrated, but take our listeners into, like, in-game. Did you hear his frustration? Did you hear a lot of chatter and, like, the New York City FC players going at each other? Or they just seemed lost from a viewer's standpoint. Can you tell us from in-game?
Yeah, on the field, I mean, we knew that the first goal was going to be really important, and if we got it, it would be pretty much game over. So to get that first goal in the first 5 minutes was huge. And then the second one shortly after that. And after that, for their team, you know, you could tell that they weren't really complaining to each other, to the referee. It was just, you could tell in their body language that they were just resigned to the result at that point. And we just kept putting it on them. We smelled blood and we just took it to them and made sure that there was no doubt who the best team was over the two legs.
Clint Irwin, our guest here on TFC Pitchside. So looking ahead to this conference final, it's not only the biggest game in TFC history once again, but it's also a revenge factor for what happened in last year's postseason and also just the years and years of a rivalry between Montreal and Toronto sports teams, whatever the sport may be. How does that element of this tie factor in for you guys and this team, the fact that it is such a big rivalry game?
Yeah, we all know what the stakes are, and we know the history of the rivalry between the two cities, not just in soccer, but in hockey and
politically as well. Yeah,
yeah, culturally and politically, you know, it's always been there. So for us on the soccer field, it's going to be interesting because I believe this will be the sixth and seventh time that we've played Montreal this year.
Yeah.
So we've played them almost, you know, more than 25% of our games or so have been against Montreal, which is weird to think about. So we're pretty familiar with them. I think it'll be chippy. It'll be a battle. You know, they're a tough team to play against because they like to sit deep and then counter. So you have to be careful of how many numbers you're pushing forward and how you're leaving yourself exposed at times. But we're excited for it. I think all the fans are going to be excited for it. It's going to be a great atmosphere here in Toronto and in Montreal. So we're really looking forward to it.
I know there's been a lot of talk of this team feeling not necessarily snubbed, but wanting to prove a point with the fact that there wasn't many award nominations for you guys. Did that factor in at all to the type of intensity that we saw, not just throughout the squad, but especially Giovinco, who really it seemed like he wanted to stick it to some people for not being a part of that MVP finalist?
Yeah, it's weird how that worked out. You know, I can't really say how people voted or what they saw, but, you know, for me, Sebastian was the MVP of this season. He deserved to win, in my opinion, and the fact that he wasn't even the top three is pretty ludicrous to me. So, but he's a guy who brings it every single time he's on the field. I don't think it's really changed his motivation too much. He wants to do well, and he wants to score for the team, and and that helps us. But, you know, we're focused on what we need to do. We know that the more that we progress, the more attention that will come, and individual players will see more of that. And we're really just focused on what our team can bring to the table, and we'll let the individual accolades follow.
How much election coverage are you going to catch tomorrow night, Clint?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to go into a bunker somewhere and just binge watch and pray. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm hoping that things go off without a hitch, but I'm a little bit worried. But at the same time, I'm feeling good that I'm going to be in Canada watching rather than in the United States.
The praying actually tells me who you want to win. So, yeah.
And also, you know, like if you guys bring home MLS Cup, you are a Canadian citizen right away. So that's there's no doubt.
You'll never
that.
Have to buy a beer again.
I'm glad that's how it works. It seems like a pretty straightforward process for citizenship here.
Yeah, no doubt. Clint, congratulations on the big win. Congratulations on what's been a fantastic season. We hope you guys can keep it going. We'll see you down at training.
All right, sounds good. Thanks again, guys.
There he is, Clint Irwin, goalkeeper of your Toronto FC. And again, you can follow him on Twitter, at Clint Irwin.
You know what I found? Well, we saw it, but I didn't know how deep it went, where Clint just said it right there. As soon as that second goal went in, they just wanted the game to end. There was nothing in them to continue.
Yeah, it was, and it was evident when you were watching it. And also, I think, you know, it's hard to make something of intangibles and chemistry and all those different types of things. But when you hear Clint and the way he talked about the way this team plays for each other right now, rather than just with each other, they're fighting for each other and all those different types of cliches, being around the team as much as we have this season, you feel it as much as you hear it from them when they talk in the media and stuff like that.
Do you find it weird, off topic a little bit, do you find it weird that the three MVP finalists are not in the playoffs anymore?
Well, yeah. I mean, Canada 10, New York 1. So what if they had 3-0 in the MLS finalist, MVP finalist column?
You know what?
I'm not
even surprised.
The Canadian teams won what mattered, and that's really what it is. I mean, we're going to talk about awards, but at the end of the day,
the one award that matters
things
is
that
the,
are nice
is
to
the
have,
MLS
but they're not anything that really matters. Speaking of the man who should have won MLS MVP again, and Nacho Piatti should have been right behind him, probably, Sebastian Giovinco. Here are the thoughts of the Canadian kid, one of the goal scorers last night, Jonathan Osorio.
He's the best. He's the best. Hands down, he's the best. He's the best ever to play in this league. Hands down.
And
straight
Drew,
up.
It's not done there. Here's Drew Moore.
I think he's the best. I think he's the best this league's ever seen, and I think he's got still more to even offer, which is crazy. He works so hard. He trains hard. He's not a typical DP. He comes in and he wants to win. And to have him leading our lines right now is pretty special. He's the best I've ever played with.
More coming up. I did want to say this. Gianpiero Ventura, the coach of the Azzurri, he said this about Giovinco. For 2 years, I did everything for him, but today, however, he plays in a league where the number of goals he scores has less importance. Here's what I have to say about you, Ventura.
Shut up!
Yeah, that, and you're an idiot. And I can't wait for when you get fired. TFC pitch side. We'll talk to Lloyd Barker next and more on the MLS Cup playoffs. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef.
Also equally and potentially even more proud that they were able to keep the zero through the course of the match, especially given the number of changes that that Patrick threw at us, the different looks in terms of attackers, and we were able to continue to sort things out and figure out how to deal with them, because they've got some very good players, very good attacking players, and we're able to keep a clean sheet, which I'm, like I said, I'm equally proud of. Nobody
knows. I think it sets up in an amazing way for everybody and for soccer in Canada, for everybody in those two cities. I think, again, we're we're enjoying this for the moment, but already in the back of our minds, we can't wait for that, because I think it's going to be two unbelievable games, two games in incredible atmospheres. You know, the history, the rivalry, the dislike between the two clubs, the two cities. For me, you couldn't write it up any better.
Say it again. Say it to the Lord.
That's Gashi. Oh, what a goal. That is utterly sensational. It's a shot in a million from Skeljan Gashi. And Colorado, unfancied, unheralded, are level in this tie.
Runaway on Howard, he takes it, and it's another save by Howard! The Colorado Rapids are through to the Western Conference Finals! Tim Howard, a hero in Commerce City and the Sea of Burgundy, has exploded here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
Unbelievable, Connor. And we see squad players Dennis Castillo and John Werner and Zach Pfeffer running on here. This is a moment that will live long in the memory. These moments do not come around very often, and the Rapids were written off. They were written off after the game last week. As we're reaching outside, Porrick Smith and Brian Crookham and Mitch Murray. These are huge moments for the Colorado Rapids. Connor, you and I were in LA. We saw the headlines after that game. We saw the percentages, and there's very clever people that do percentages of who's expected to go through on the back of those scorelines. And the Rapids were written off. LA Galaxy's percentage of chance to go through skyrocketed off the back of that 1-0 win. And look, penalties, as we've said, this is not about after the event. Penalties can go either way. But what a moment for Tim Howard. When people said you were signing him, it was a case of you're signing him to put bums on seats. Of course you are. You're signing him as a big name. Why make a goalkeeper a DP? That, this afternoon, is why you make a goalkeeper a DP. He has saved two. He has psyched out Dos Santos for a third. And the Rapids are still going. They're into the Western Conference Final. We're going to have another two games at least.
Glory! The traveling supporters section to celebrate with them. That's it. Great season for FC Dallas, but their season ends tonight. And the Seattle Sounders know that they're going to be advancing to the Western Conference Final. Two-leg series against the Colorado Rapids.
To our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
This is Maduro.
Hey, it's Jonathan Osorio, and you're listening to TFC Pittsburgh.
Piatti. Quick feet and a great effort, and what a goal from Ignacio Piatti! Absolutely priceless for Montreal. A gem of a goal, and the impact. The inside track to the conference final.
Piatti cuts it. That is textbook technique from Piatti.
Now, TFC wasn't much of an upset, but for me, that was Montreal with a 2-1 second leg victory over the New York Red Bull, advancing through to the Eastern Conference Finals, setting it up for a 4-0-1 derby. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitchside. Were you as shocked as I was at Montreal's performance yesterday at Red Bull Arena?
Not so much. I felt like they were going to get through this tie. I really did. I just didn't think they were going to win, you know? And they just played Mancuso?
Mancuso.
Yeah, I always butcher names, so that's okay. Why I have you here. And Piatti, I mean, Piatti is by far one of the greatest players I've seen to play in this league that is like kind of unknown.
Yeah.
He came from nothing. Like you kind
of way for a couple of years. And yeah, he doesn't get the recognition.
No, not at all. But he's so calm and collected. Just the way his body moves with the ball. It's just
Montreal is so confident that Nacho Piatti will make something happen over the course of the game that they play such a defensive style and just hoof it up to him on that left side.
It also seems...
And it's such a simple tactic.
It's old school English tactics. Just boot it up the field and he'll just...
It works. Why would you change it?
Well, same reason TFC's not changing their strategy.
If other teams in MLS can't defend it, why stop doing it?
Got to keep going to the well.
Exactly. Here's what Nacho Piatti had to say after yesterday's win over the New York Red Bull. They won 3-1 on aggregate, 2-1 in the second leg in New York or New Jersey. We knocked out an important team, but we know they're a weak team in the playoffs. They showed that last year and this year. So he didn't really hold that anything back.
And he's kicking them while they're down, too.
Basically just calling them chokers. So big win for Montreal and fantastic on them for the way that they played. And it sets up a huge game in Montreal at Olympic Stadium, November 22nd, where they can host 60,000 plus. We plan to be there for TFC Pitchside. So hopefully we will see a lot of you down there as well. I know there likely will be quite a few. I did want to get to a couple of tweets. JK says, is this real life? Is this just fantasy? Drop 5 in New York and escape from reality. That was pretty good. We'll get to more of your tweets in just a second. But joining us now is Lloyd Barker of the Montreal Gazette and football analyst. Lloyd, thanks so much for doing this. Really appreciate it. That was one heck of a performance for Montreal yesterday in New Jersey.
Pleasure to be here. You know what? I look at that as kind of like, I call it a professional performance.
Yeah,
I mean, it's certainly totally the most beautiful football. Obviously, I think, I don't know the final numbers, but I guess they didn't have more than about 30% of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't mind that one bit. And that was always the plan, to concede possession to New York and just be most efficient on the day. They did so in the first leg, even at home. That was kind of their plan. And certainly it was always going to be the plan going away from home and try to, you know, come through with some sort of a result that's favorable. The fact that they actually won the match, it blows my mind. It's the first time they won 3 in a row all season long. They could not, for their lives, put together a string of consistent performances over the course of 3, 4, 5 games all season long. And all of a sudden, they've got it all right. And again, I chalk it up to just a professional performance. The tactics are spot on. The execution is spot on. And again, it's never going to be the most beautiful football to watch, but at the end of the day, it's just about effects, right? And they've been extremely effective down the stretch here.
Yeah, it's been absolutely working all the time. Defend a lot and get the ball to Nacho Piatti. It seems easy, but it's working for Mauro Biello. And you know what? I maybe did criticize Biello a little bit earlier in the season. I thought he was losing this team a little bit, but he certainly has found something that works for the players that he has at his disposal.
Tomorrow's defense, and I wrote about this a couple of times, and the one thing I liked about Mara, and I know Mara personally, we're friends from way back in the day, the one thing I liked that he was doing, that he was trying things. So he wasn't sitting on his hands. And so if you're going through a spell where you're losing games or you're not getting points, at least show me that you're trying to do something different. So you're not sticking with the same formula that's not working. And so he tried different formations. He plugged in different personnel. And while they were dropping points, you know, he was trying different things. So I could appreciate that. And I said this, you know, as the tail end of the season kind of wound down, I said Mara's biggest challenge this year is to figure out a way to get the best formation with the best personnel out there. And I suspect essentially that's the plan and the idea for every manager throughout the course of a season, to figure out what formation to use and which personnel to plug into that formation as you head into the playoffs to give yourself a chance to win the tournament. And I think that's what Mauro's done really well, because despite the fact that they couldn't put together a string of impressive performances throughout the season, all of a sudden now they have. And I think that you got to give him credit for that. And Mauro deserves credit and the players deserve credit. But, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what's happened here. They've all they've done is they've bought into what they are, and they are a counterattacking team. They're most effective when they play off the break. It wasn't. This is not anything new. Last year they were the same. The year before they were the same. They play off the break, and as you said, and that's why I laughed, because you get the ball, you play Ignacio Piatti, you sit back and you hope for something good to happen, and 9 times out of 10, something does happen, which leads me to another point, because when Drogba is on the field, that is not necessarily the mindset of the players, and I think that has been a problem when Drogba's been on the field, because when Drogba's on the field, he becomes the primary target for the attack. When I've always said that should not be the mindset of the players. With Drogba on the field, it should still be Ignacio Piatti as the primary source of the attack. And I think that that's also played into how this thing has played itself out as well.
Now, TFC and the Impact, they know each other very well. So I don't think there's an issue there of like merging together and trying to see what's different. But the one different thing is the 3-5-2 formation with TFC. Do you think your boy from way back, Mauro, will figure it out?
You know, the 3-5-2 is it's the old school formation where the two wide guys are up and down. They're wing backs essentially. The wide guys in the five in the midfield. They're up, they're down. They cover a lot of ground. On the one hand, it's effective because you get to congest the center of the midfield and you've got width from those guys, from the two wide players in the five in midfield. But on the other hand, that space in those corners with three in the back is always going to be there. And that's the space that Ignacio Piatti predominantly occupies. And so you ask if Mauro is going to figure it out. I would reverse that. And I would actually say Greg Vanney needs to figure out how this is going to work out, because Ignacio Piatti, and the one thing people don't give him credit for is that he actually defends a lot. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of defensive work, and I don't think anyone really recognizes that. But on the other side of things, he gets up and he finds the right times to get in those pockets where he's able to face defenders and run at them. And in his case, it's faced like literally, it's plural. It's two or three defenders, and generally he has no problems getting past all three. So I actually think Greg Vanney's got to figure out how he's going to deal with this, because there's going to be that space, and that's always been the problem. I mean, I know this from way back when we used to play. I used to play 3-5-2, and I played up front in the striker. I was one of the two, and I also played as one of the wing backs, the wide players, where I was up and down. So I know the exact role, and I know the vulnerabilities that presents itself wide when you get caught up top. And you know, Montreal, they'll allow you to come. They'll allow you to keep the ball, and you think, okay, you're good. You've got possession. Okay, now we'll break through, and then boom. You know, one of the boys in midfield will win it, Bernadello, Donadel, or Bernier, and all of a sudden now you're caught numbers forward, and boom, there's those space in those corners where, again, you're vulnerable. So it's going to be a chess match. Biello, I know he's very clever in terms of how to deal with formations and the responsibilities of the players. It begs for a really interesting matchup, and I guess we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out in the end, really.
Look, I like how you flipped that on me, okay, and you posed the question to me. Those are fighting words, I'm just saying. But, you know, since you're a guest of ours, I'm going to let that slide.
It's TFC Montreal.
But seriously, though, why do you think Ignacio Piatti doesn't get the respect from among the league and everyone? Why doesn't he get the love that he deserves? Because he's such a fantastic player.
Well, flip it again. I think your boy, Giovinco, deserves even more credit than Ignacio Piatti. And I'm thinking specifically now for the MVP award that these players that they've posted. And it's a farce for me. Yeah. Back in the day, the player that scores the most goals and has the most assists wins the points total. And that's Giovinco for me. So he's never going to score. Maybe he doesn't score the most goals and he doesn't have the most assists, but he's compared to the player who scores the most goals and compared to the player who's got the most assists. So for me, he's the most valuable player. Because
yeah.
He doesn't just do one thing. He does both things, and he does them equally well.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
And he's really found the best way to get the most out of Jozy Altidore, too. I mean, this team is they're flying high right now, offensively and defensively. But I wanted to we're running out of time, and we got to talk about Didier Drogba. I think Biello deserves a lot of credit for managing the situation the way that he has. But now that Drogba is back in the fold and willing to be a rotation player for this team, and that worked out certainly in the second leg, as he did get the assist on that second goal. But what happens at the Big O? Is Drogba going to play on the turf?
I think he's good enough to play 20 minutes, surely, on the turf. And I think at this stage, as his career winds down, he understands this is the end. I mean, if he's going to play another year, I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But in saying that, this is the end. It's the end of this season, so you've got the whole off season to recover. Surely he can put in. He's not going to start the match, that we know. Marcos is going to start the match. But is he good enough to give 20 minutes? And we saw, and I've been saying all along, he has a role to play. He's got value just sitting on the bench. And if he could buy into the role of coming off the bench, he has that value. And you saw that against New York. He came in and he made that assist. Again, that's the role. That's the importance of him. I maintain that had he been on the bench against Toronto FC when Toronto was here in that 2-2 match where Ricketts scored in the dying moments to equalize for Toronto, I maintain that that match would have finished 3-1 had Drogba been on the field. Had Drogba been on the bench, rather, and subbed on in the second half, because he would have provided that third goal for Montreal and it would have been lights out for Toronto. It's 20 minutes. It's 50 minutes. It doesn't matter the score line. He's not going to play more. Even if they're chasing the game, I don't think Mara's going to put him on at halftime, because I don't know if he has 45 minutes in him on the turf. And so Drogba now needs to sit at home and say, look, 20, 25 minutes, do I want to give this to the team? Do I want to give the end of my career to this team in this manner? And I think the answer is yes.
He should be on laundry duty for what he did.
You know what? I'm gonna finish with this. The Drogba situation, there's a little bit more to it than meets the naked eye. He's been dragged through the mud from his actions in that decision by pulling himself from the team. But there's a little bit more to the story than meets the naked eye. So I'll just leave it with that. And maybe in the end, he's not all bad as it seems.
Well, we'll have to get you back on and tell us that story at a later date. But just wanted to get your thoughts on Evan Bush. He had a heck of a performance.
Evan Bush has been the second best player for the Impact in the last maybe, I'd say, 2 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote a column about a couple months ago, and I remember specifically putting in there, it's time for Evan Bush to be great. And, wow, he's answered the bell. And I'm not here trying to be audacious and saying I'm the one who brought the best out of my writing, that by no means, but it just coincided with the timing of my column. He's been the second best player next to Piatti, of course. It's just, you know, I just said I've always thought every goalkeeper, and Greg Sutton's a really good friend of mine and he'll attest to this, I've always said to him, I just need you to make all the saves you're supposed to make. And I need you to make one save you got no business making in the match. And there's a good chance that is going to be the turning point one way or another. And we're going to go on and get the result that we want. And Evan Bush has been doing that for the past couple months. You win nothing without a goalkeeper doing what Evan Bush is doing. It's as simple as that. And he's known that. And credit to him for standing tall in the biggest moments of the season, for sure.
Thanks so much for doing this, Lloyd. We'll be talking.
It's a pleasure. You guys take care.
There he is, Lloyd Barker of the Montreal Gazette and football analyst as well.
That's a lot to ask for. Make the saves that you have to make and make one out of this world save.
Evan Bush did it. Did he not?
He did do it.
I don't think Clint Irwin really had to make any out of this world saves.
No, because
he had the nice save on RJ Allen in the first leg, right?
Yeah.
Tips it over the bar. Made a couple yesterday that were pretty good.
But those are routine saves for him, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? His team didn't need him to do that because they played so well in front of him.
This is true. Over in the West, the LA Galaxy losing on penalties to the Colorado Rapids. We harped on Tim Howard and how much he could do as a DP. But if it can result in Colorado taking home MLS Cup, that money would be worth it, would it not?
Hey, it was in the playoffs, you know, shootout. Top goalie like that. Okay, yeah, they're a good team without him, but who's going to make three saves in a shootout? That's insane.
Yeah, and Stevie G, the only one. The Daily Mirror actually wrote today that Ashley Cole apologized to Steven Gerrard for missing the penalty.
That was his first penalty, I think, in a professional game, I think, Ashley Cole.
And the LA Galaxy have lost to the Colorado Rockies.
What?
Yeah, that's what they wrote in the Daily Mirror.
Seriously?
Yeah. No joke.
Shame.
As for FC Dallas, they won 2-1 over the Seattle Sounders, but they lose 4-2 on aggregate, and Dallas pays for their mistake, just like NYCFC did, and playing a defensive type of formation when that is the furthest thing from what they are in the first leg of these ties, and they paid for that. Jordan Morris and Tim Howard, the only other players still in MLS Cup playoffs, to be headed off with the U.S. men's national team, along with Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley. I guess that does it. What a game. What a win. And Montreal is now 2 weeks away, Thomas.
Jordan Morris is doubtful for the U.S. because of a hamstring strain.
Oh, that's news. Yeah. Did not see that. Well, thank you for being on top of things for once.
I try. You know, here or there. I give you a bone here or there.
If that's not the best performance in TFC history, I don't know what is. Villa was invisible. Jovinko is all the people's MVP. That's from Biscotti Bowman at DanRiccio 590 at UnfitRef. Tweet us your thoughts, as always, on anything and everything Toronto FC. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Monday with another edition of TFC Pitchside. You can't stand it, I know you can't stand it. You can't stand it, I know you can't stand it. You can't stand it, I know you can't stand it. You can't stand it, I know you can't stand it. You can't stand the heat. You can't stand the heat. Just be cool, stop acting like a fool. Stick together. No work for you for miles around. The family's on the verge of breaking down. The rent is due, the landlord making.